Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today. No credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
There's a lot of them, but there's more of us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's 2014. It's a World Cup year. Yes!
Yes!
62 yeah. Listeners can't be wrong.
Come on!
There's more of us.
You're damn right. Oh, Pete Donaldson's here.
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody.
Luke Moore's back for another year.
Happy New Year.
And sexy Jim Campbell.
All right. Hey-o.
Indeed.
Hey-o. Trying out a new catchphrase.
Is that your World Cup song?
How it sounds.
Right, then, it is 2014. It's a World Cup year. Oh, can you feel it?
We are going to continue to fly the flag for international football throughout this year.
You'll all be convinced by June.
Some of you may not have seen it before or even heard of the World Cup, but check it out.
We're
champions of it.
As a little sprinkling every so often in between Champions League weeks.
Yeah.
But it's good.
What would you like to happen this year in the world of football, Petey?
I would like Newcastle United to possibly win a league cup match, maybe.
Okay.
Win a cup match.
Jesus.
Is that as ambitious as you can go with Newcastle?
You
like them to possibly win a league cup match?
You have a wonderful imagination. You're on the football round, but you can say whatever you like.
That is my wonderful imagination.
The good thing about that is he's going to have to wait until like September to get there. The rest of the year's written off.
Yeah, exactly. I've already written this season off. It's fine. I want to see us win a knockout match.
Yeah. I'll tell you what competition that Newcastle fans would like to see come back.
Into Toto Cup.
Yeah. Would you take that? Would you accept that? An Inter Toto Cup win?
It was more of a shield, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you'd take it, surely.
It's called the Inter Toto Cup
win. Yeah.
Is that how bad it is? Is there a shield as well?
Yeah, I think it's just a shield.
Is that right?
Scott Parker holding up the shield.
It was confused from start to finish, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
What about the Anglo-Geordie Cup? Geordie Italian Cup?
Yeah, I'm not sure that was a thing.
You can start it.
Let him have his own answer.
One of my favourite ever Ramble moments is when Pete genuinely and seriously accused us of, in quotes, offending the Geordie people.
No, nation.
The Geordie nation.
I don't recall ever doing that.
You said Geordie Nation.
I tell you what, it was probably about you offending Kevin Keegan. Let's face it. You're probably having a pop at Kev.
I'm not talking about Kevin.
I am Lord Protector Donaldson over there.
Well, if there's anyone who needs protecting, it's Kevin Keegan.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete would take a bullet for him or a slap in a label.
How do you like that, Pete? Yeah.
Don't mind.
Yeah. Oh, this might be a new year, but the jokes are the same.
Okay, so Pete, are you going for that?
I'll go for that, thank you very much.
Newcastle to win
a knockout league cup match, specifically. Mm. It'll have to be a League Cup because FA Cup won't start till.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true. That is very true.
Well, unless Newcastle get relegated this year.
Yeah,
good point.
Might get
good
point.
Or get into Europe.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it's going to be next
year. Okay, Luke, can you.
Yeah, I would just like to see, in general, more of Vincent Tan.
Yeah, I don't think there's much danger of that not happening.
Yeah, well, I think it's realistic.
He'll pull those trousers down.
No, higher.
Yeah.
You'd see less of him then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's true, that's true. But the only part I want to see, really, are the driving gloves, the moustache, and the sunglasses in all weathers.
I'll tell you what, right, if his agent's listening...
Yeah.
Get him into Hollywood, because I'm thinking cameo.
Yeah.
How many cameos could that guy make in film?
Bond.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat. Bond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tell you, the only man with a higher belt line... No, actually, that doesn't work. Let me just rethink that. His belt line is so high, it would even offend AVB. Yeah. See what I'm getting at? This is a high line.
Sonic Cow, famous.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. High line. Yeah. Good, yeah. Works.
I think build your own joke for the listeners, isn't it?
Yeah, break it down to its
part. But you've got to do it yourself.
Not when really posh chefs do, like, deconstructed desserts. So it's like a deconstructed joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Tan has got a lot more to offer.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
With apologies to those who support Cardiff City, I know what it's like to have a ridiculous owner own your club. I support Portsmouth, but it's important to see the humour in these situations.
And got a lot more to offer.
The trousers.
Yeah, the trousers.
There's a lot of them around. There's one a lot thing, of silly owners around.
One thing we've not seen is we've not seen the lower sort of ankle level of Tan's trousers. We've not seen the photo of that.
What, right, okay. What is the break point where the leg becomes visible? Because that's...
For me,
I reckon it's not can't be far away from it.
Well, he's got really long trousers, and instead of hemming them, he's just put them on and went, I'll just pull them up really high, and then they can just sort of go down.
I'd like to keep my belly button warm.
I'd like to see him put his legs through suit arms. Trouser legs
with like leather socks on.
Yeah.
What do you think of the shirt and tie with a t-shirt?
He's got more to offer, Jim.
Indeed. Well, he can do all of these things.
The football club shirt over the shirt and tie is a brave shout as well.
Yes. Brilliant is what it is.
But leather sunglasses as well.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'd like to see the football shirt under the button shirt, so everyone goes, he's...
What, he rips it open when they score?
Big time.
Yeah, football shirt over...
Like super tan.
Yeah,
football shirt over the shirt is a little bit like when a footballer gets paraded around.
Yeah.
And he's had to just pull on a shirt quickly, because, he didn't come dressed correctly.
John Terry, Champions League final.
Oh, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see somebody throw a pound coin through Theo Walcott's circle hand.
That would have been good.
So they gave it a go on the weekend.
That would be a proper soccer M thing.
You've had your answer.
Yeah, don't worry, none of them will win the point.
That's actually an offensive gesture.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Please don't recreate that
again. That is very true. Scoreboards are offending people, aren't they? Every week.
Jim has his answer.
I know. No, I'm just saying that they are. Jim.
My answer is quite a serious one, actually, guys. So just a bit of hush, yeah? I would love to see Lionel Messi lift the World Cup in Brazil, because generations have moments that define them, and that would be incredible. And then people would stop going, we've got to win the World Cup.
Not Steven Gerrard.
I want to be realistic in my answer.
Have you heard
that, Jim? Fuck off to Flowey. All right.
Yeah.
You're
be fair enough, Jim. Fair enough.
Normally, when it comes to that sort of thing, though, Jim, there's normally a gag at the end, and you've sort of blindsided me.
But
I think it would be nice. I think you're absolutely right. It would be excellent. And for him to do it in Brazil as well would be absolutely superb.
A country that hates England to win the World Cup.
Good.
Generalisation.
What are those shows?
Podcasts.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing right now. No, those things that Charlie Sheen went on one where he sits in a chair and everyone slags it
off. Roast.
A roast.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the
Possibly an intervention.
I'd like to see the Mark Clattenburg roast.
Ooh.
You take it well.
That's what I'd like to see. Yeah.
You've changed.
Before you came on this show, you weren't slagging me off. That was all much to do with
a roast of Mark Clattenburg.
Or,
you've changed me.
Or Clattenburg has a different role. So whenever someone makes a dive or does something a bit silly, they have to go to the sideline and Clattenburg just ridicules them for 5 minutes. There'll be no diving.
I would actually quite like that.
I think it'd be class.
Yeah, yeah. 5 minutes seems an awful long time, though.
Yeah, well, that's what you've got to deter them.
So no, it's an insult.
It's a deterrent.
It's an insult per dive, depending on the severity of the offence.
Okay. Yeah, but that insult can go... I mean, I'd imagine he's pretty good with his words, Clattenburg.
I don't think he is.
Do not. Anyway, I think Luke's got the...
Vincent Tan's got the point.
Actually, hang on a minute. No, Jim's got the points. Lionel Messi winning the World Cup.
Okay, fair.
Come on, that is... Can't argue with that. Well, let's go straight to the FA Cup, where Arsenal beat Spurs 2-0. Clattenburg was in charge.
Mm.
But a good win for Arsenal. And Theo Walcott, he did a gesture too that the fans... And that was more offensive than people throwing coins at other people.
Him and the medical staff, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to throw a coin at a member of staff, a medical member of staff is... Yeah, probably the most accepted one, because they can treat themselves.
Exactly, they can deal
and
with
I don't
it.
Think people have discussed that enough.
Do you think if you throw a coin at a member of the medical staff and they turn around and were like, what are you doing? And they just went, deal with it.
Yeah.
That's just not
sort of,
what we
sort
want
of the
to
football
see.
Equivalent of being run over by an ambulance.
Which, to be fair, would be awful.
Looking at
all of it would be awful. Yeah.
Regardless of the irony. The irony would make it more annoying. I think
it is satire on the underfunded NHS, personally.
Oh, yeah. I think if you are offended by a man reacting to you abusing him by showing,
stating
two,
fact.
Yeah, 2-0 scoreline. I don't know if that was me, yeah. I honestly, and I probably in my younger years shouted.
You'd applaud him.
I would. I think it's very funny. Yeah. That's exactly what I would do in the situation. Uh-huh. And I would hopefully take it in good spirit. If you get annoyed by that, then I think you've got real issues. And in the same way, not to be too sort of biased about it, we saw the way that Arsenal fans reacted when goading Adebayor for City, and he went all the way down the other end. And obviously, I don't really condone that sort of incitement, but he was getting pelters all game.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to say, at least fair enough, we'll dish it out, I've got to take it. If you give a player... I mean, Portsmouth did it famously with Thierry Henry. You know, there was a big mutual respect dished out there because Portsmouth fans started off sort of pelting him a bit, trying to get him off his game, couldn't do it. He ripped him to pieces and they all applauded him at the end. And I think that's what really should happen.
Weren't they singing Sign Him Up to Harry Redknapp?
Yeah, and he put a pommie shot as well. A bit patronising. I was at a line there, Terry, but I'll let you off.
Ha ha. Lulz.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but Jim, a good win for Arsenal.
It was a good win. And you know what? I was surprised by how kind of lacklustre Spurs were. They did have a lot of possessions towards the second half.
It's best I say was Roy Keane. Roy Keane would absolutely postal about Spurs.
I'm really enjoying Roy Keane at the moment, I have to say.
Well, like, the amount of misplaced passes, I've never seen so many in a row.
They did have a fair bit of possession in the second half, but they were very much kept at arm's length rather than actually threatening. And the North London derby is something that shreds your nerves when you support either side, but this was actually a fairly comfortable one, which I can't remember another one really like that.
Yeah, I thought that Spurs, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on the show because we haven't done one for a while, I can't remember, but I think I've often sort of thought that Spurs playing the way they play under Sherwood, and that's early days and he sort of galvanised the troops and stuff and that sort of thing, but I think the way they play under Sherwood will potentially come unstuck away from home against a good team in form. Now, I thought, obviously, Old Trafford didn't happen. They did well. They sat back and they hit them on the break. The second goal against United was superb, counter-attack and football, but against Arsenal, when they've got such a dominant midfield, you play that Benteleb guy who looks like a good young player, but I mean, it's a big ask for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in actual fact, Spurs, I think they had the most possession, but it wasn't really any sort of penetrative possession.
No, I don't remember them having a clear chance. I think the closest one was when Adebayor had a shot in the box, but he just scuffed it completely. It's like he hit it with his personality rather than his ability.
Yeah. But Marcus, what did you think of the game?
I thought you're absolutely right. I think that, I'm quite glad Tim Sherwood got the job. And I know this is going to... I don't mean to sound like a little Englander here, but it is nice to see an Englishman given a chance at a club. We see it on the continent a lot where... just off the top of my head, like Stramaccioni going in at Inter. Now, OK, it didn't work out, but he's got a bit of experience. You know, where do English managers get experience in their home country? Yes, they should go abroad more. Like, I mean, and fair play to Steve McLaren. Mm-hmm.
Also, let's not forget that there is a dearth of them. There are just less English coaches.
Yeah, but this could be perhaps one of the reasons. But Sherwood knows that squad pretty well. You'd imagine he knows a lot of the younger players. And also something else that people have said, oh, he's tactically naive, he's gone 4-4-2 or whatever. They've got some good results under him already. But you know, we see David Moyes at Manchester United. Slightly different setup, but we've seen Moyes manage for, 10 years or whatever. And people say he needs time. Sherwood needs a bit of time as well. Yeah, he is tactically naive, you could argue, at the moment. But I think that given a bit of time and to maybe... I mean, Lamella's going back on loan, I think, to Italy. So hopefully he could come back and then join that squad.
Talk
again
of getting Massa Okoto and Tommy Carroll back, isn't there, as well?
Is that right? Cuba.
I think that what you've got to look at is the way that Spurs capitulated against Liverpool, Manchester City under Andres Villas-Boas. Now, we don't know what happened behind the scenes, but there's obviously something awry there. Now, what has Sherwood come in and done? He's basically tried to play to his strengths, which is that he knows the club well. He probably knows the players pretty well.
He's brought Adebayor back into some of the problem.
Yeah, he has. They are good players, aren't they? It's a good group of players he's got there, and he's galvanised them because the change is as good as the rest in many ways. What's got to happen at some stage, though, as you would imagine, and I don't mean to get on his back, show, but I do think he's a bit of a clown, actually. But well, I do.
I don't mean to get on his back, but I think he's a bit of a clown.
But I should be honest.
He's way too outspoken for his ability level. You know, he's got no pedigree in you know, first team coaching, where first team managing, effectively.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm getting at. And I think I'll give him credit for what he's done so far, but I do think that at some point, the fact that he's new and the fact that he's galvanised and the fact that he's not, to a certain extent, AVB, that's going to wear off.
Of course.
And when that does, then we'll see what he's like as a manager because he's essentially, what he's done is he's got a good group of players there, which he's already had, And he's not AVB.
What I want is him to get incredibly furious with the result of the referee, refuse to do the press conference, Les Ferdinand right in there.
Yes, that would be nice. I'd like to see that.
Would you like to see Big Les managing?
I'd like to see Big Les managing.
And then, of course, get a bit of experience.
From his helicopter, so he can get a better view of everything.
And then, in 24 years, when Pardew's contract's up, in at Newcastle United.
I did like that banner that the Arsenal fans put up, though. That's a lovely
one. Which one was that?
It just said, it just had the quote about Sherwood basically saying that he's a big Arsenal fan.
Tim Sherwood?
Yeah, he basically said that he's from North London, his dad goes to the Emirates every week, okay. You know, he's from a bit of an Arsenal family, and it's clear that he did have Arsenal.
Yeah.
he was an Arsenal supporter, apparently. So, they just had a big banner saying, I always look out for Arsenal's results, I'm a big Arsenal fan, or something like that. I can't remember what the
actual
wording
was. Well, he looked out for that result, all right, didn't he?
I thought he looked surprisingly positive throughout the whole thing.
I know my dad's enjoying this.
From Arsenal's point of view, I always think that Arsenal, certainly for the years we've been doing this show, Arsenal have always been a team who is almost about mentality and stuff. So we talk about the mentality they've had when they won things and the mentality they've got when now they don't win things. And that's quite a popular media narrative. That Arsenal's mentality against Spurs is always completely different than when they play teams like Chelsea and Manchester United.
Yeah.
Now, it was really interesting to me when they were playing really well. Obviously, they're still top of leagues, so they're still doing well. But when they went away to Old Trafford, and everyone was like, this is a big litmus test for them. And they completely reverted to type, went into their shell, got a bit scared, gave United
and
far
United
too much respect.
And United were there for the taking.
And they got beat.
They did have injuries and illnesses to derail some of the momentum there.
Yeah, but Jim, if they could apply that, what I'm trying to get at is, and I know Chelsea and United traditionally, certainly over the life cycle of this show, have been stronger sides than Spurs have, but in my view, if Arsenal could attribute or sort of apply that mentality when they play Spurs to against Chelsea United, and go, do you know what? They've got some good players, but there's nothing to be scared of here. We're a good team. If they could apply that mentality to those games, I reckon they'd have won a lot more. And I reckon it could be the key to them winning something this season, actually.
They know they're better than Spurs.
It's a fair point, but I think the reason it happens is you're right, they know they're better than Spurs. Chelsea and Man United are better, traditionally have been better sized than Spurs have as well. And also, Spurs have an inferiority complex against Arsenal.
So it works
both
ways.
Do you notice before the games, Arsenal don't say anything. There aren't players coming out in the press saying stuff, perhaps maybe reacting to things Spurs have said, but the Spurs players they talk it up in the press quite a lot. Clearly they've got a sort of mental thing against Arsenal. Chelsea and United just don't have that, so Arsenal can't play off of it.
I know that Spurs had a lot of players out for this game, and Arsenal did as well, to be fair, but do you think the show was making a point by playing Bentaleb and not Kapuwe?
Quite possibly.
Because he had Obika on the bench, didn't he, and Harry Kane on the bench. I know they've got players missing, so it might be something to do with that. But he might well be sort of saying, oh, these are the players I've brought through, these are my boys, you know.
Yeah,
and he might be able to find it easier to assert his authority on with those players in the squad as well. But I thought Arsenal played well. I thought they deserved to win the game. It was a bit of a non-performance from Spurs, really, as we've already touched on. But obviously at home, Arsenal are a lot stronger, so it wasn't really too surprising.
It wasn't too surprising. Was it surprising? I mean, wasn't perhaps, a great giant killing Nottingham Forest beating West Ham, but 5-0.
It's the manner of it, isn't it? It's the manner.
Giant nil, Pete Donaldson. Jamie Patterson with a hat-trick, and Abdoun and Reid with the others. I mean,
he was so chuffed on the Patterson to score. He got quite emotional, actually, after his third goal.
Abdoun chipped his penalty, didn't he?
I love the penalty. Did you see what he was doing beforehand? I think it's Andy Reid was captain.
Yeah.
I think it was Ali Reid was talking to try and get the ball off him, and all you could see was Abdoun obviously doesn't speak great English. You could just you could literally just go, I take,
is that right?
I take over and over again.
Amazing. He knew what he was going to do.
Yeah. Abdoun missed a game on New Year's Day because he was too tired.
Oh,
too tired.
Batteries for a great performance there.
That's meant to say he's not slept well. It could be.
I've done that thing where I've overslept. I didn't wake up till 11.
And then I fell back to sleep. And I just woke up more time.
I'm sleeping now. This is me sleep talking. I'm sleep penalty.
West Ham was sleeping.
There was a few.
And having a nightmare.
There was a few interesting tweets from Gary Lineker and Danny Baker. They said, Lineker said, why do managers throw away FA Cup is beyond me, especially teams like West Ham with no European games. It's crazy. And Danny Baker said, maybe if teams don't intend to turn up, they might tip off supporters about it, so they have the option. I mean, obviously he's being a bit silly there, but it must be maddening for a West Ham fan to go all the way up to Nottingham on a Sunday.
Hour and a half.
It's fair. Oh,
okay. Hour and a half from St Pancras.
That is true. It's not that bad, is it?
The Bedford train.
It costs a lot of money, though.
Not if you book it in advance.
Take longer.
In advance, book it in advance, get a much better deal.
And they did see 5 goals.
Yeah, that's exactly. True. I don't know.
And a chipped penalty. I mean, yeah. I don't know what these fictional West Ham fans are complaining about.
Visit the coach station.
What is the problem?
I was interested in some of the comments that were made, I think, by Lee Dixon before the game, where he said, that before the game, Allardyce didn't even really look up for it. No. He looked a little bit like he was going through the motions. Mm. Yeah, and really...
even after the game, he gave that impression.
Yeah, absolutely, after the game. Yeah, he sort of seemed completely sort of...
Allardyce is a little bit of that Harry Redknapp type, isn't he? Where
jowly.
That is all those things as well. But it's almost a case of, well, we've got injuries, we're playing youngsters. I mean, yeah, if we lose, don't be surprised about it. It's not my fault, you know. This is not my doing. Yeah. This is just circumstance.
Not turning up.
Yeah, you can't have a go at me because I did tell you that we'd probably lose.
Yes. I've written this one off.
Yeah.
And he also, Allardyce doesn't know the difference, it seems, between saying he's taking responsibility because he's the manager and the buck stops with him and actually taking responsibility. You can't just keep saying it.
That is true.
You actually have got to take responsibility at some point, you know. And yes, West Ham have got a few injuries here and there, but there are teams in the Premier League with a lot more injuries who have given a better account of themselves in the round of this FA this FA Cup.
This isn't a low watermark for their season. You know what I mean? The 20 results before this.
Yeah, they won 1 in 13, problem. I think, yeah.
I mean, look, they're in the semi-final of the Capital One Cup, so they're doing all right there. But this, you just want the manager to say something to the fans, you know, even if you've been beaten 5-0 away from home in the cup, okay, these little strange results can happen, but don't say, well, obviously we're going to lose like that. I mean, we only had a few players and blah, blah, blah. Just say it's frustrating. So, I know we did the best we can. We didn't apply ourselves brilliantly on the day.
Refund the buses.
Yeah,
you know,
we gave to, even though we had a makeshift side and we had a back three we're not used to. We did give them a little bit too much room and a little bit too much space, and our heads dropped too quickly. We've got to sort this out. Say those types of things to people who have paid money and have supported that club and deserve better. And they deserve better treatment in the media, if you know what I mean by that. Yeah. That was what it was like at Fulham when Muehlenstein came in. Yol was just going, yeah, well, you know, we lost, but, you know, we might win again. Or something, all this kind of crazy.
We now go to the pub, have a lovely night.
What's the problem? Muehlenstein was saying, you know, I think we've got the fans back now.
Yeah, yeah, so it's one of the first things
that
he said.
That surprise, the result against Hull surprised me, and all this kind of stuff.
By the way, you shouldn't really overstate the West Ham, sort of youth of the West Ham side. I mean, they had Adria in goal, who's a first team goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And they had Jarvis and Downing, both are international footballers.
Yeah.
They had Ravel Morrison, who's highly rated, played international level at a younger age. Mm-hmm. And they had Maiga, who's the first choice striker when Carroll's not out.
So what he's saying is the players coming through are absolute rubbish, and they haven't they haven't made any decent signings.
The thing that put off West Ham was the Nottingham Forest goal music. Now
I agree with you.
Did you see the boy crying to the strains of the Fratellis? Very weird.
What was the song that was played?
Chelsea Dagger, wasn't it?
Chelsea Dagger. Fratellis.
Okay.
Another player who started for West Ham, I know he's had his injury problems over the years, is Alou Diarra. He's an international football player. He's got 40-odd caps for France. Played in Ligue 1 for years.
How is that
acceptable?
Yeah.
That those sort of players don't apply themselves to such an extent they get beaten 5-0 by a team. To lose a game away from home against a team like Forest.
Yeah, it's not a.
They're a big club. Yeah. There weren't that many fans there, to be honest, but generally they are a big club. It's one of those things that happens.
Exactly.
You know, we see clubs much better than West Ham happen to. But to lose in that manner.
And to pass the
buck. Forest were taking the piss. They could have scored 8 goals.
Forest were excellent. Forget that.
But
just
before we move on to
much.
Forest, though, is it one thing, again, that Allardyce is going, well, you know, we've got injuries, I had to play this rubbish. If you're a youth player and you hear that, how's that going to encourage you? If you do hear the things of, you know, we gave them too much room, we gave them this, whatever it may be, constructive stuff.
So another thing Keane said, fair enough, you want to give these young players experience, but you've got to protect them as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And Allardyce may go in the changing room and say something different.
Guys, I know I've chucked you into the deep end of the gravy without a crouton to hold on to. But...
yeah, I like that.
Just try your best next time.
Exactly. But Forrest did play very well. Jamie Patterson, the hat-trick.
Yeah, his first goals for the club.
Yeah.
I love what Billy Davis said. Well, I've been thinking someone's going to get a spanking sooner or later. That's what he said. He said, "I think someone
keep
was waiting
yourself, you perv."
Yeah, his wife breathes a sigh of relief.
I think someone was waiting to be hit four or five by us. He said,
"Yeah,
that's brilliant."
Well, it sounds like it was Sam Allardyce. Oh, hang on, absolutely fine with it.
Hang on a minute, Celtic are on the phone.
Yeah, fabulous win for them. Great win for Sheffield United.
Yeah,
Nigel Clough's men with a memorable win. Ryan Flynn with a great win.
Villa fans are happy with that, weren't they?
Well, they're in a great season. Yeah.
I think they're really
chucking confetti around.
Forgive and forget. A few fans tore up their tickets and threw them at Paul Lambert as he walked down the tunnel. Surely it would have been better to not tear them up, to crumple them up.
This isn't even the time where you'd usually have people throwing their season tickets into the river. Near the, you know, you always have like a local newspaper. Yeah. It's usually somebody at Newcastle throwing it into the tyne. Yeah. And then like two games to go.
He's there the next morning trying to fish it out, crying.
Yeah, I bumped into someone who told me that they claimed to be one of the people who threw their season ticket on the last game of the season at McLaren.
Mm.
And he said he maintains that Middlesbrough posted the ticket back to him.
Is that right?
It was posted back to the number would have corresponded to his customer deals, and it was posted back to him.
With just a note saying, "You'll come again."
Yeah. Renew? Question mark with a post.
A cupcake mashed into the side of it. A little gift.
But Sheffield United, what a win for them. Lambert said he didn't demean the competition one bit. I don't think he did.
I imagine they'll do it again next season.
Yeah, of course.
But we've demeaned plenty of competitions before. It's fine.
Yeah. No, but great win for Sheffield United. I mean, that was one of the results of the round, surely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, we all agreed.
I think that with the Villa thing though. I mean, if I bought a ticket for that, if I was a Villa fan, and I bought a ticket for that game. Mm. It's not going to be cheap, and you know, Sheffield United, you know, a team of note, aren't they? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they you know, it'd be a good game, and it was a good game because obviously Sheffield United beat them. But for Lambert to say that stuff, like how effectively that he felt like that his team could do without the FA Cup, it's like, that's an outrageous thing to say.
Well, Benteke looked like he could have done without it.
He looks like he can do without everything. He hasn't scored a goal in God knows how long. So it's a bit.
60 grand a week is a lot of money to spend.
Someone needs to remind him that the World Cup is approaching.
In a more serious note, I mean, I don't want to go too over the top about it, but if you are going to be dishing out fines to managers for different things, then surely something like that, when you completely undermine one of the biggest traditions in this country when it comes to football, a trophy that's been around for longer than anyone else can remember, yeah. I think that's really out of order. I think you should better get away with doing that.
Even if he does think, I'm not that fussed, don't say that!
Mm. Especially when you've got people chipping off about match fixing and stuff like that.
Mm.
You know, if you were going to sort of at least almost allude to the fact that you haven't got any integrity around the cup competition because you'd rather concentrate on the league, I think that's slippery slope.
The moment you take that first training session in preparation for that game with that attitude, you've lost the game.
Exactly. Absolutely.
How can you possibly?
It's going to translate to the players. Oh, Gaffer doesn't care about it. You know, whatever.
Yeah. We'll just get through this one.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Talking of, teams thinking, maybe we could do without the FA Cup or anything. Manchester City could do without a replay, couldn't they?
Yeah.
good draw for Blackburn, though. Pantilimon with a little fumble.
I don't really think a Man City squad of that quality is going to be too bothered by a home tie against Blackburn.
Do not.
No. Still, I mean, I think again, they will, but
they can do without a replay.
That's a night off. You know what I mean? I mean, with a busy schedule.
The only person that's going to be annoyed is like the groundsman.
Blackburn could have won that game.
They could have won that game.
They were really good, actually. And that young boy, I forget his name now, the wide player, he was really good quality. You know?
Yeah.
I think Boyata pretty much has ended his City career there, isn't he?
Oh my God! I mean, you do sometimes wonder what goes through players' heads. You know, when you've been given a chance in the team, you don't play very often.
Maybe he just caught a whiff of himself. God, I need a shower. You,
you'll do, or otherwise known as the Kevin Nolan.
Oh my goodness! But what about poor old Newcastle United?
Yeah,
perhaps influencing Pete's answer to the
every time
question.
A bloody turn up. I tell you, if you see me at a Newcastle match, we're probably losing.
Yeah, turn him away. Cardiff, Vincent Tan and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got the goals.
Dream team.
And they won 2-1.
Stevenage, Brighton, Cardiff. That's the last four seasons in the FA Cup.
I thought Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would not be the worst striker at West Ham if he played there.
No, he wouldn't be.
It was a weird old match. We kind of controlled vast swathes of it. We just couldn't get the ball in the back of the net, and there was enough quality on the field to.
I always think, Pete, if you supporting a team is as bad as the team I support, I always think that it's very disappointing when you go a goal up at home and you lose the game. I mean, that it shouldn't really happen. Mm. Portsmouth have done that about five times this season.
Especially against a side who's lesser than you. And Newcastle's having a good season. Cardiff.
You know, we had Cissé, Tiote was playing, you know. I think Elliot, the keeper, let us down a couple of times. I thought it was a really soft goal to concede from probably the smallest player on the pitch for the second goal. Mm. Stephen Taylor doing that like crowd pleasing trick of standing in front when we've got a free kick in the last 2 minutes of the match, and he stands in front of the goalkeeper with his arms outstretched, and everyone in the Leeds end, I think, was like clapping and stuff. I was like, I don't give him the bloody publicity, Jesus Christ.
The sort of thing that, like, a simple person does.
Well, it's what Kevin Nolan used to do for Newcastle. Oh, that's
okay. Yeah. For that.
Yeah, just, go on, Taylor. Block his view.
I saw Sammy Amiobi doing some shuttle runs up and down the edge of the
always
pitch.
Always a highlight. Always
worth,
a highlight.
Worth the 25 quid.
Yeah. Well, you've kicked off 2014 with a bang. And a big bang at that.
He's actually getting paid to do shuttle runs, Pete.
Yeah. I saw Mike Williamson
in a
casino.
Some of your money
later.
Would have gone towards that.
Mike Williamson, Pompeo Hall of Famer.
In a casino later on.
Did you? Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Good. He was gambling.
Yeah.
Who was? Sorry.
He was playing roulette. The gambler's
Mike,
choice.
Big Mikey Williamson.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice
sat next to him for a bit.
Uh-huh. Was this at the game? Is there a casino in St James's Park?
They're a roulette wheel on the subs bench.
Well, they're always in there anyway. At least this way we can get an eye on
a roulette wheel. Just gets passed around the crowd.
But I just
like a cheese board.
I just always assume that, like, you know, the sort of the footballers got a really fancy casino. I was like, how am I allowed in? And he's allowed in.
Beautiful.
I don't know.
Liverpool beat Oldham 2-0. Good performance for both teams, really. Mm. It was nice to see Anton Rogers and Brendan's son, Anton, sharing a little moment at the end. He came on for the last 7 minutes.
Good win for Brendan Rogers, but we all know that he's not actually in it for trophies. He's in it because the most important thing is, as he keeps telling us, is the honesty of the group. You know? Yeah. And all he wants is an honest group.
I've really enjoyed Brendan Rodgers in the media in the last sort of couple of weeks. He's just straight in there about Vincent Tan slagging him.
Yeah.
And all
he
like,
loves Malky Mackay, doesn't
he's
he?
He's really got his feet under the desk at Anfield. He's thinking, I'm a big boy. I'm at a big club. Yeah. Have me. Yeah. Drink me in.
Well, he knows Rogers. He won't end up there now. He's like, yeah.
Rodgers, though.
He chipped off about Spurs, didn't he, as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Rodgers could be at Anfield for the next sort of five and maybe even more years if it's going really well.
We could do a coffee table book, Marcus.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
What would the reviews say? Okay.
2.5 out of 5. Okay.
Any more on that one? I didn't think so. Rochdale beat Leeds 2-0. Henderson with a delicious volley. One of the goals of the round.
Rewarded with...
lobbed volley.
I often just see side-footed.
Side-foot lobbed volley.
Rewarded with Macclesfield or Sheffield Wednesday in the next round.
Yeah. No, but they could go through, though.
But you'd rather have a big team, wouldn't you?
You'd rather have a big team next.
Don't be rude.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's nice to see Macclesfield still in there.
Yeah,
non-league side.
Mm. Leeds fans must be pretty good though, because they usually do quite well. They've knocked out some big.
I saw some Leeds fans complaining on Twitter. They were absolutely beside themselves.
It's not. You don't get a bye every third round, Leeds. Come on.
Gordon Bennett. What's the manager's name?
Brian McDermott.
So Brian McDermott was.
Big Heston.
Talking of gutted, yeah, he was saying that he's worse than in the playoff final loss for him that match.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably not financially.
Yeah. No. But at least, you know, again, that's what the fans want to hear.
Yeah.
Play to the crowd.
Pay lip service.
Play to the crowd.
We don't care.
Bloody hell, Allardyce.
Didn't Brian McDermott say that it was the worst moment of his entire career?
He said it was worse than the playoff final defeat.
Wow. Mm. Amazing.
Again, it's what the fans want to hear.
Yeah.
It's what the fans want. Sharing the fans' pain.
Unless he says it every week.
Yeah.
Regardless
of
the results.
Well, that's the worst moment.
I'm just really down at the moment. Yeah.
dropped a couple of points at home.
Yeah, you've lost one of the cones for training. It's the worst moment of my career. The worst moment of my career.
He's a man with no long-term memory.
Yeah.
Like Memento. Yeah.
So every win would be the best moment of my career.
Can somebody write my pros and cons on my arms, please? Yeah. The best parts of my career.
They beat Ipswich at home in like the middle of the season, like 2-0. He's running on the pitch going, yeah! Like platoon on his knees, like arms in the air, like Willem Dafoe.
Sticking a flag.
Drink
in
it in.
Send a circle.
Gets a tattoo of every result.
Yeah. We'd love to see that, Brian. Manchester United lost again at home. 2-1 to Swansea this time.
I thought there was going to be a giant clean at Old Trafford, but there wasn't.
You have to say it's Swansea this time because they're queuing up to win at Old Trafford this season.
Mm. They certainly
are. Look at the list of names. I mean, they're not.
Teams are earmarking it. Teams are looking at the fixture list and just sticking three next to it.
Yeah.
We'll take this, they think.
Or next round of the Cup, which of course it was for Swansea.
A friend of mine said friend of mine who's not a friend of the show. Not a very big fan. No, not a very big fan of Manchester United. So apologies to United fans in advance, but you've had your fair share of success. He said, he Facebooked me something funny the other day. He said, you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi, when the Death Star explodes and all the Ewoks celebrate and there are all these pretty bits of space rock raining on Endor, or at the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, when Christopher Lloyd's character dies and they break through into Toontown, all the birds are singing, there's glorious sunshine, yeah, and everyone is smiling. That is what's happening at Manchester United at the moment for everyone else.
Yeah, I like it.
A great win for Swansea, though, nevertheless. Routledge with a lovely finish, and Boney with a good header right at the end. Second time that Manchester United have gone out in the third round in 29 seasons, I think, was a stat that was flying around.
Bandied around.
And, people were saying it was the first time this season, actually, that United fans were showing signs of being really pissed off.
Yeah, they booed them off, didn't they?
They did boo them off. I mean, they do have, say, the Capital One Cup to come, but...
Ooh, they've got big problems because I don't think he should be sacked, and I don't think he will be sacked, but they've got big problems because the next challenge for United, for Moyes and United, along with winning the games that keep them in touch and keep them in that top four, is how are they going to attract players?
Yeah, absolutely. If they don't get into the Champions League, which is a distinct possibility, then that's...
I just think it sets all of the results they haven't. You know, they're getting beaten by lesser teams. You know, you'd think kind of reputation-wise. Like next season and the season after that and the season after that. It sets precedents where people sort of think, these are beatable. Yep. When before, it's kind of like, they were, as Luke said, kind of imperious. And you went to Manchester United, you went to Old Trafford thinking, well, we're going to get a complete and utter shoeing. But that's just not the case this season.
You think, oh, it's a nice day out. We'll appreciate the great stadium and the history and the tradition of the place.
Mm. And the points.
And if we...
if you look at how it's hard to sign players in January anyway, right? Mm. And Moyes has admitted as much that he needs new players, he wants to sign players. The fact that it's David Moyes managing them, no disrespect to David Moyes, but there are going to be players from around the world who aren't really going to know that much about him. They're going to know that he managed Everton, but Everton haven't really ever dined at the top table in sort of Champions League era anyway. Mm. They're going to know that he's obviously the Man United manager now, but he's not really won anything.
But it's still Manchester United.
But that's what I'm asking. The question I'm asking is the fact that it's Manchester United enough in itself for a player to sign for them? And if it is, then great, you know, good luck to them. But if it isn't, then the problems are only going to escalate and get worse. And the only way they'll be able to rectify it is if by Moyes turns it around to a massive degree and really starts to oversee success there, or they get a big-name manager in.
Mm. We've seen sorry, Marcus, to interrupt. It almost looks like the pressure is just getting to them because the first goal was basic stuff, like really, really root one stuff of Routledge's goal. You wouldn't have seen a Moyes Everton side concede a goal like that. It's ridiculous for Manchester United to concede a goal like that.
Just going back to Luke's point briefly, we've seen before, though. I mean, big players have gone to the likes of, say, Inter when they've not been at the top, and Milan can still attract some of the best players in Italy.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit, but I still think Manchester United can attract the best players. They can't attract. Well, they're probably on that second tier of good players now.
Can they do that without the Champions League?
Yeah, that was sorry. So, yeah.
It goes to show you how good a job Ferguson was done. I mean, every week that goes past, you think...
Yeah.
Because we said at the beginning of last season, we didn't think United could do anything because the score's not good enough. Mm. And it looks to me now that if you look at the league table, and obviously there's a long way to go yet, you'd fancy United to be challenging at the top around this time of the season normally. Mm-hmm. So basically, essentially, Ferguson has been worth like 11, 12 points to them.
Oh, completely. And also, the big talk is actually he didn't leave Moyes the best of squads. I mean, they've had injury problems. You can't just write that off Van Persie, who was so key to them last season, has been out for a long time. So Moyes wasn't given the best of squads by Ferguson, although friend of the show...
Left him the champions of England.
but that doesn't matter for anything, though, going the next season. But as friend of the show, Lawrence McKenna pointed out, that perhaps actually they did give Moyes a little bit of room to make a few signings and bring in a few players.
But Woodward, didn't that make it happen, basically?
But exactly. So and it's not Moyes' fault for the piss-poor activity in the transfer window by Manchester United,
the Herrera stuff.
Yeah, but I think it is partly his fault, because I think the players don't want to sign for him.
No, there is slightly his fault, but the way Manchester United went about their transfer dealings, I don't think you can blame Moyes so much. They should have had that in place and a bit more of a plan and people going to, you know, if they wanted that Herrera or whatever his name is for Bilbao.
Or possibly even signed players before Alex Ferguson leaves the club effectively.
Well, which,
they could have signed
him
the month maybe,
which is kind of what Bayern did, really, with Götze.
Yeah. We got you a present.
Yeah,
different mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, but cracking on with the FA Cup. Southampton beat Burnley 4-3. Great game,
that.
Klein and Lambert with great goals. And Burnley.
Ings and Vokes as well.
Ings and Vokes.
I thought when they came back from 2-0 down to go 2-0, I thought, because Southampton have been fallible, certainly recently, I thought Burnley might have gone to
They've wobbled big time.
Yeah, but credit to Southampton, yeah.
Credit to Southampton. Credit to Crystal Palace, another good result. And,
credit to Lallana for scoring and just not getting upset.
I thought we'd move on, but okay, you had to have a little dig.
That's all I've got.
Exactly. Yeah. Palace winning away to West Brom. Schmack with another go. Palace will play Wigan or MK Dons.
How much has Tony Pulis turned them around? You know, I mean, obviously, they're not safe by any means.
Well, they've got Wigan or MK Dons in the next round. Both of them played a very entertaining 3-3. And I quite liked Espinosa of Wigan. He scored a great goal in that game. Rocky. But yeah, Pulis is. I mean, you look at Palace now and you think, blimey, they could stay up. Mm. With Sunderland and Fulham and West Ham being so terrible.
Absolutely. I think Norwich are going to get dragged in there fast as well.
They could well do, Jim. They could well do. And they're still in the cup. They drew with Fulham. So the fourth round draw, just to pick out a few fixtures, Arsenal v Coventry at home. Mm-hmm. It was a fairly good one for Arsenal, I think.
Yeah. You'd expect Arsenal.
In fact, I think it's a very good one for Arsenal, being a bit coy there.
Well, you know, having had Spurs straight away, that's good. You don't want to get another big one. If you get Chelsea, then you're like, oh, come on.
Well, Arsenal have got a couple of tricky periods coming up in February.
Well, don't rule out Coventry's firepower, though. They're two strikers. What are their names? Clark and Wilson.
Yeah.
They've got like 34 goals between them this season.
Arsenal should win.
Yeah, they should, but I'm saying Coventry could have capable of scoring.
It's no foregone conclusion.
Well, Arsenal...
You'd rather them than Chelsea, was my point.
Yeah, but...
And I stand by it.
In mid-Feb, Arsenal play Liverpool away, Manchester United at home, and then Bayern at home. But then in March, they go away to Bayern, away to Spurs, away to Chelsea, then home to Manchester City, and they even go away to Everton at the start of April. Yeah. So actually, I think home draw against a side a few leagues below you is quite nice because you don't want to have to scrap it out with Chelsea or something like that.
And with respect to Coventry, they will be able to rest a few players.
Well, Coventry. Bolton v Cardiff. That's an interesting one. Chelsea v Stoke. Mark Hughes.
The rematch. Yeah.
Loves to prove himself against their former employees. Or employers, rather. But and employees.
Yeah, both. Fine.
All of the above. Sheffield United will play Fulham or Norwich. And Nottingham Forest will play Ipswich or Preston North End. Forest, I mean, if they carry on with this, could have a little cup run.
They will have. They're already on it.
That is true. That is very true, Jim. Before we leave the Great British Isles, Millwall have appointed Ian Holloway.
Has that definitely happened?
Yeah, according to The Guardian.
God, that appointment of Steve Lomas worked out well. Who could have seen that coming? Everyone. That was absolutely ridiculous.
What are you talking of people getting people in at the top? Fulham, they've employed Alan Kirbishley, which was nice. See, wasn't it? And Ray Wilkins.
Yeah.
It's a lovely little...
Let's hope that broth's not too spoilt, because there are a lot of cooks there. That broth like is in danger of tasting like shit, especially if Berbatov goes.
Oh, dear.
We like Ray Wilkins.
He's a smashing lad.
One quick one before we do leave Great Britain. AFC Wimbledon, they're on a very tight budget at the moment, so much so they've asked their fans to see if any of them have a spare bedroom they can offer to put up some of the club's short-term loan players. So just doing our bit for AFC Wimbledon there.
If anyone knows... Yeah, get in touch with them.
Yeah, but you've got to live near the ground, you know. Yeah. So
open yourself up to all sorts of horrible things there.
Tell you something.
I hope it's not like the film Misery,
right?
The Stephen King book, where they get. If you're not careful, you get the wrong person. You get hobbled.
Yeah, I think we really hope that.
That's terrible for a footballer.
Yeah, it's the last thing you need.
Yeah, let's get away from
the guy in Misery. Was a writer.
He was, yeah.
Let's get away from terrible places where nasty things go on. And we'll go to the FIFA house.
It's not a bazaar.
No, it isn't a bazaar, but it is very bizarre, if you're there, I'd imagine. But Sepp, like the great British public, is getting fed up with diving in football.
He's getting fed up, all right.
Damn right. Maybe he eats the divers. That's what he's maybe proposing.
He's not far behind the curve, is he?
Not far.
Three or four seasons behind the curve?
At least. Yeah. At least.
It's the paperwork has probably just reached him. About diving, there's so much bureaucracy. Yeah. It's only got.
I think this is another shot across the bows to Cristiano Ronaldo because they've had a bit of a spat this season.
Oh yes, of course. Oh, well, he's saying that the referees, he reckons the ball's in their court or on their field, whatever. But he said the instructions are clear on this matter, and if a player is lying on the floor, the opposing team is not required to put the ball out of play or into touch. And he said the referees should make players wait on the sidelines before they bring them back. And he didn't specify what time. But this is something that we talked about as well, and this is actually a quite serious point. The ball doesn't have to be put out of play when a player's down. Now, how many times recently in the last few years have we seen awful incidents of players having a heart attack on the pitch or something serious when they're down? And now we're saying, oh, just play on. Because of morons on the pitch diving, you know, this kind of thing can happen. And this is actually quite a serious point. So diving needs to be addressed. And I'm actually glad he's finally got round to talking about it. And one thing that people have said is sin bins. I mean,
we're not talking about diving here. We're talking about feigning injury.
Oh, feigning injury. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
You wouldn't really find yourself off the pitch if you just dived.
Forgive me. I got the two mixed up.
It's very much kind of like you've gone hard on him, basically. Well, went, all right, I'm definitely injured. I'm leaving the field.
Well, I've seen instances. I remember one specifically with Didier Drogba when he was at Chelsea. When I think, I forget who they're playing now.
Was it in the Champions League?
Ball came across and he got a boot to the chest. And he touched him on the floor and sort of simulated having some sort of fit.
Yeah.
And he was fine. And
he looked up as well.
Yeah, if talk about undermining genuine injuries. I mean, if everyone did that and referees all of a sudden, even subconsciously, became blasé about it and then there was a proper incident, as there was with people like Mwamba and stuff like that, it could genuinely cost a player their life.
Yeah.
So it's such a delicate area. I think that I don't really know how you're going to combat it long term, because no one's really ever going to be able to suggest whether someone's injured or not apart from the player themselves. If they don't want to be honest about it, you can't stop them.
But I think Sepp Blatter should come out and ask and make an appeal to the professional footballers and say, look, this is the reason why this is such a crucial issue.
Do you think the players respect it?
I think that I think if you get a lot of the heads of the league or whoever doing it, I think people, whether they respect him or not, the point he's making is quite pertinent. And players would have to be idiots to ignore that. And if that the fans realise that a bit more, then they would give them absolute pelters. You know, you can't have that. But going on the diving thing, I mean, do you think if a player is seen to be diving, we've seen a few more yellow cards in the Premier League this season for that. Yeah. And hopefully Blatter will clamp down at that on the World Cup, because we've seen some really sort of terrible diving incidents, all that nonsense.
I think Ben Arfa got one at the weekend. Yeah. I was too far away to say yes or no on that one.
Did Ramirez get booked as well for a quite shocking dive?
Yeah, he did.
But
do you think sin bins are a good idea in football?
That's a bit.
I don't know. I think maybe with diving, retrospective one match ban. I mean, it's in incidents where it's like.
I think it's got. I think Jim's right. I think it's got to happen after the game, because if for example you're alleged by the referee to have dived and you haven't dived, but he puts you in the sin bin anyway for 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
and there are going to be. Yeah, but it's better than you can't really tell. But when it's clear cut, it's a ban. Like, I think it'd just be as simple as that.
Yeah, because you can ban players for 5 yellows. So what if one of them's a dive? It's a 1-game ban straight away. It's not difficult. Yeah.
I wonder about Blatter's motivation for coming out with this now, because it's very easy for him to just say something everyone agrees with to get people on side.
Oh,
I wonder if they're
hushing
up some other news.
Well, they're
keeping their ball boys and harvesting their organs.
Well, no, you
like
say
that,
Jim, but there was talk that he was going to step down and not go for FIFA presidency in 2015. And then when asked of it recently, he went,
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So there you go. Very sad news from the world of football is that Eusebio's died at the age of 71 of a heart attack.
The great man.
Yeah, shame. Very big shame. I mean, according to the BBC, scored 733 goals in 745 professional matches.
Unbelievable.
Did you see the tribute to him at the Stade de Luz?
Yeah, they put him in the centre circle.
His coffee was in the centre circle.
On a plinth. We always endorse a plinth, don't we?
That was his wish, apparently, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, he's in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, so do check that out. But yeah, marvellous stuff. Diego Maradona update from one legend of the game to the other. he posted a message online over Christmas where he lifted up his T-shirt and revealed that he's got a new and improved lean body. And people speculated that it had been photoshopped. But according to El Diego, that's nonsense, he said. And the truth is, for all who talked about me, I want to show you there is no Photoshop. There is no Photoshop, OK? To all those who took bullshit, I tell you to your face, dicks. I assume it's dicks, because the first one was B and then 7 stars. So I'm
right.
That's bullshit.
Okay.
And then bollocks, but they probably wouldn't say.
Yeah, they wouldn't say bollocks. And then the last one was just five-letter word, all starred. And I thought he wouldn't say C word. Well, he might.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if he did.
It could be prick, one specific person who's questioned it.
The photo I've seen doesn't look photoshopped. It looks like just like he's sucking his belly in.
Have you seen the video?
No,
because the actual, when he was saying that there's no Photoshop, it was actually in the form of a video, and he lifts up his shirt, and there's some definite.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah.
Why is he even putting this photo out there? Is he trying to get back into?
Well, he's a classy individual.
But I mean, he's lean for a big fat guy. In that he's still very, very broad indeed. But you know, there's no bulging. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, he's had his stomach stapled.
He looks like a horse.
And now it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game.
New Year's, a new game. What are we doing this time?
Very hopeful, then.
Yeah. All these clues come from Slaven Bilic's beanie. On the forum.
I like to think the idea of the clue's been taken out of the actual beanie hat.
Yeah.
Suck it, 2014. Yeah. I was born in 1976 in Amsterdam.
Stop, is it Slaven Bilic?
No,
stop,
not.
Is it Dennis Bergkamp?
No, it isn't.
Stop, is it Richard Vitschke?
No.
Good one.
Nice. I can't have another one.
I won the Dutch title in 1997, 1998, and the Dutch Cup twice with Ajax.
Stop. Wim Jonk.
No.
Stop. Michael Reisiger.
No.
What year was it again, mate?
Mate?
What year was he born?
Mate? 97. What year was he born? 76.
Okay, right.
In Amsterdam. Amsterdam. Together with Ajax players Benny McCarthy and Dean Gore, released a rock and bass track entitled Midas Touch in 1998.
Is it Glenn Helder?
No.
I just remember he played music.
Stop. Is it Brian Roy?
No, it's not Brian Roy.
Is it not Brian Penis, because we've had him?
No, we've had him.
Has not stopped you before.
I made 130 appearances for Chelsea, winning the FA Charity Shield and the FA Cup.
Stop. Winston Bogard.
No.
Stop. Frank Rijkaard.
No.
Frank Rijkaard?
I didn't mean Frank Rijkaard.
You mean Dutchman.
I didn't mean Frank Rijkaard. I became the first Wigan player to play in a major international tournament by coming on for the Netherlands.
Stop.
Against Romania in the final group match at Euro 2008.
Is it, what's his name?
You can't do that.
Emerson thingy.
No.
What's his name?
Emerson Tome.
Oh, not Emerson Tome, no.
He's Brazilian.
No. Go on, carry on.
Well, stop. You're not get
stop,
it from the
stop.
Last
stop.
One.
Get it in a minute.
Mario Melchior.
Mario Melchior.
Yes!
I was just toying with him, ladies and gentlemen. I knew the answer all along.
That is poor.
My last club was in Qatar in 2011.
There you go. Good. I'm off to a winning start. Ka-ching, more like. 2014.
Well, the reason I was thinking of Emerson Tome is I know that he... I knew it wasn't him, but he obviously has played for Chelsea and Wigan as well, so it was almost like, ah.
And Sheffield Wednesday, I think.
Correct.
Correctamundo. That's it. That's it, isn't it?
That was the first
show of the year, out the way, done and dusted. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, the Twitter is @footballramble, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com.
I've got a notice. If you go to betfair.com/footballramble, and register for an account, you can get a free bet of up to £50. So please do that. Help keep the ramble free, all that sort of stuff. You definitely you might win a bit of cash. And what I'm going to do is I think we're going to get in to touch with Betfair and try and get some lots of games going on, try and get some enhanced odds and stuff like that.
Put some football on.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, why not? Why not? Even a bit of
bet
that.
On that.
Yeah. But yeah, betfair.com/footballramble for a free bet of up to £50.
Wow. Hot dog.
Keep Luke clean.
Keep clean.
Go into the soap account.
It's a mucky job, but someone's got to do it.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Ayo.
And it's goodbye from me.
You're sticking with that one.
Yep. You beauties.
This episode of The Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, customizable designs, drag-and-drop tools, as well as 24/7 support. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes on a website that is scaled to look beautiful on any device. Start your free trial today, no credit card required. As a Football Ramble podcast listener, you'll receive 10% off your first purchase by using the offer code RAMBLE11.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.